Welcome to the History Forward podcast. I'm Rachel Kulik, Curriculum Officer and Sessional Lecturer. Here, you will get inside stories from recent alumni on their educational journeys and what motivated and shaped their career paths. The purpose of this podcast is to raise awareness of the exciting and diverse careers achieved by undergraduate alumni of historical studies programs as told through their own voices, and to help inspire you to think about who you want to become and the skills you can bring forward. Thank you so much for joining in today. Now, let's talk history. Welcome back to the History Forward podcast. My name is Rachel Kulik, and today I'll be speaking with Monica Gill. Monica graduated from UTM in 2017 with an honors Bachelor of Science degree. She completed a major in biology for health sciences and a minor in women and gender studies and political science. After graduation, she spent some time volunteering in the community, such as with Bethel Hospice in Caledon. Monica also worked as part of a lab team affiliated with Massachusetts General Hospital to publish a research article in the British Journal of Anesthesia on the reversal of fentanyl side effects. Excitingly, this September, she began law school at U of T to earn her JD. Thank you so much, Monica, for joining the podcast today.
Hi, Rachel. Thank you very much for having me. I'm very happy to be here.
We're glad to have you here. I already have revealed some of this information in the introduction, but in your own words, what is your connection to the Department of Historical Studies at UTM? Which program did you complete? When did you graduate?
So, like you said, I graduated in 2017, and that was my Honors Bachelor of Science. And so I made the decision to have one major and two minors. So my major was in biology. And then for my minors, I ended up with political science and women and gender studies. And everyone kind of always used to laugh that that is the most odd and weird combination that you could possibly imagine. So I've gotten a lot of questions over my life of why did you end up with those three? And I mean, I'm sure we'll get to the question here.
That's exactly one of the next questions that I want to ask you. If you could please tell us a bit about where you're from and how you ended up coming to study in these particular programs at UTM.
So I'm local, born and raised in the GTA. And then when it came time to picking where I wanted to go to university, I of course kind of did the whole campus tours at a bunch of places and applied to, I think it was four different universities. And then when it came time to picking, my family was definitely pro stay home and commute. And when it came down to that, of course, the choice was what's the easiest to do in terms of commuting. And also when I walked through UTM's campus, I kind of really fell in love with the trees and the greenery and the ability to kind of have this little university campus that's so situated in the middle of a city, but also feels secluded in and of itself. That's why I went through with picking UTM. And then when I got there immediately, I had this inclination that I wanted to do biology because that's what I had been coming from high school, you know, always worked out for me. And then I specifically remember sitting in first year of biology and I was saying, you know, this is going well. Like, you know, I'm having fun learning about how does the body grow? How does it function? How does it develop disease? This is great. But I kind of had this notion of I'm missing something. And I put some thought into it and I realized what I was being taught in biology, how that actually operated in the day-to-day lives of people. Like I didn't really see the translation from how the body works to how people actually experience health on a day-to-day basis. So I actually went through and I talked to my family and talked to my friends and they said, well, why don't you give other subject areas a try that can actually teach you about socioeconomic or cultural or political experiences to how health actually functions. So then that's how I ended up trying my hand at gender studies and political science.
Thank you so much for sharing that. I was wondering if you could speak a bit more about your actual programs here and how women and gender studies and political science ended up being a good fit, or were they slightly divergent?
So actually, they ended up kind of covering both of those. So they ended up being just the right fit in terms of what I wanted for human health, but also they kind of developed a whole range of skills that I'd never really considered. So when it came to actually human health, political science was foundational in really teaching me kind of how laws are made and how laws are changed in very simple things, or even how campaigns are run, right? Political bias and how they're reported in the media, which actually has such an overlay when it comes to health because of how our healthcare system is funded in Canada and how different corporations lobby for our healthcare system. So that worked perfectly. And then when it came to women and gender studies, they really addressed this piece of understanding how, I mean, the healthcare system isn't experienced equally by all. For when it comes to marginalized groups, the amount of issues when it comes to access that they experience, or when it comes to actually getting services, the underlying bias and discrimination that they feel. So it was kind of like I got that lens from the health piece. But when it came to unexpected learnings, the biggest one actually was it kind of, both departments in historical studies, they gave me this sense of, I always want to learn more, or I want to always challenge myself to be more and to question. So what my professors and TAs would do in every class, it wasn't just, you read a textbook, so let's just talk about the chapter. It was, well, let's say you learned this concept of intersectionality. How does that fare in your life? How does it fare in the lives of other people around you? Or that's your opinion. Well, how about you argue for the opposite opinion? What would you say? So it was kind of this constant exercise of, well, that's good, but push yourself to the next level. And that's actually something that's helped me so much when it comes to law school now, because I do that process of not just a lecture, but let's take it to the next.
I really appreciate being able to live and experience the examples that you're studying and to understand what that means in society today. So after graduation of these programs, you actually took one step before you started your JD. You mentioned that you volunteered in your local community and at some hospital organizations. And I was wondering if you could speak a bit about how you began that after your graduation, and then the next step of how you decided to start your JD program.
So when I graduated from UTM, honestly, I know a lot of people would phrase it as that's probably the most exciting time, and it was, but it was also the most stressful time that I've probably had, because it felt like everyone around me knew exactly what they wanted to do. Everyone had this perfect answer of, I'm applying to this program, or I already have this job secured. And I was sitting there like, I don't have it figured out. I don't know what to do. And so I had this kind of pressure placed on myself, but slowly I kind of realized, well, wait, now I have the opportunity to try my hand at all of these things that I perhaps didn't get to do while I was in undergrad. So honestly, it started really simply. I just kind of did a plain Google search of, well, what healthcare organizations can you volunteer at in the GTA? So really, it was just that simple. And through that process, then I got into the website of a hospice, or I got into the website of a hospital, and I just started trying my hand at applying. And I made this realization that even if, you know, I don't plan to work in a hospice, but if I can go there and I can connect with people, or I can learn skills, maybe those people will inform my next volunteer job or what I want to actually do as a career. So it was just kind of this process of, well, let me just take my time and try my hands at a few things. So the hospice, actually, in particular, I still volunteer there now. And it's been entirely foundational for me, because that's actually where I ended up meeting a few people that are practicing lawyers. So it was in a completely unexpected environment that I ended up connecting with these people. And they started telling me, I'll be honest, I never thought I would be going into law school. I didn't think it was a career for me. But talking to them, they started speaking to all of these elements that I wanted in a career, like the opportunity to kind of constantly be doing that learning process, or the opportunity to make direct connections with the people that I was serving, and also the chance to do pro bono work. So that's kind of how that transition happened. And I think in general, if there's one thing kind of I would suggest to people that are listening, it would just be, don't be scared to try your hand at different opportunities that you don't think are perfectly fitting or aren't going to be perfect on your resume, because you'll get so much out of them that you won't even realize later why you were so apprehensive in the first place. So when it comes to that research paper, again, I never went in with the plan of, I want to be a researcher for the rest of my life. But it was, well, I have this opportunity to learn how research is formally conducted. How do you get permission from protocol committees? How do you write an abstract? How do you present a paper? And so all those skills now are entirely translatable to what I'm doing in law school, research and writing. So again, just take every opportunity that you're given and honestly run with it.
Thank you. That's excellent. So you began your volunteer path after graduation, and you interacted with some lawyers during your other time of your volunteer work. What then led you to do the JD, and how did that path work?
So after I talked to those lawyers, I realized this is something that I could actually see myself doing. And so I took those next steps of when I had other people around me who were also practicing lawyers, I kind of started connecting with them. I spent a few days like shadowing them in their offices. And I kind of also grounded my foundation of, okay, I can do this in the day to day. So then after that process, I actually went through and I, you know, did all the formal stuff, meaning you learn, okay, well, now there's an LSAT involved. How do I study for an LSAT? There's applications involved. How do I write my application essays? And all the professors that I had actually met in the historical studies department were so fantastic when it came to my applications. I wrote them so many emails of me saying, oh my God, am I crazy for wanting to do this? Do you think I can do this? And genuinely, they had so much confidence in me and advice when it came to, when it comes to an essay, here's this guide you can read. Or, you know, when it comes to your skills, well, here's something that I noticed, you know, you're really good at. So they helped me along in that process so much. So I went through the application process and it was really nerve-wracking then many, many months later, but it all worked out.
Congratulations again on getting into law school and starting your program. I guess this is an aside question. In terms of studying for your applications or your LSAT tests, was there something that was most challenging for you? And how did you work through that?
Probably the most challenging aspect was simply that you're studying entirely independently, meaning there's no external, I mean, other than the test date, but there's no one behind you saying, you have a lecture tomorrow, you have to read for tomorrow. Or, you know, you have these step-by-step assignments due. So it was entirely up to me to kind of pace myself, to do my own self-evaluation as going forward. So it was kind of actually that process of sitting down and saying, I need to create goals for myself. I need to create guidelines. I need to create, you know, here's my step-by-step process that I'm going to get through with it. And also there was the aspect of, I think the other challenging part of it was just the nerves. And this is a chronic problem even today, I'll admit, but I get in my own head a lot about, can I do this? Or is this the right thing for me? And that's like I was saying earlier with my professors, whether it was them or my friends and family around me, I really kind of had to allow myself to lean on that support network and allow them to kind of be the one saying, no, you're okay. Just keep working. It'll all be fine.
Was there a particular professor or course at UTM that you feel shaped the direction in which you went?
There was actually two. So in political science, Professor Erin Tully, with her, I had studied Canadian politics both in course, and then we also did a research opportunity program together. With her, actually, she's the one I owe it all to when it comes to my research and writing. With the actual research opportunity program, it was the chance to work with her as well as two other students. Because it was such a small class, she was really there with us every single day to say, here's how you devise your research question, or here's how to perform your content analysis, and really kind of critiquing our process. So she taught me a lot of that. And then also when it came to all of the essays and reports, really going through line by line of saying, your writing suffers from this, or your writing is strong in this aspect. I owe it all to her when it comes to research and writing. And that fared well when it came to the actual application essays. So that definitely applied there. And then now as a student, you know, all those skills are really paying off when it comes to assignments now. And then for women and gender studies, actually Joan Smolchuk was absolutely fantastic as well. I did a small group practicum assignment with her. And that was where I worked with a women's health center downtown called Women's Health and Women's Hands. That was foundational in my understanding of inequality and specifically inequality in the healthcare system. And even more so, what that did for me is because I was able to connect with clients directly face to face. And so it taught me this process of, again, learning is not just in a classroom, learning is every conversation you have. And it's been amazing because as I'm now in law school, again, I'm not just focusing on learning through lectures. I'm focusing on learning through connecting with prospective clients or connecting with other students. So it's just that view on learning that is much wider now.
Having gone through this whole process, do you have any advice that you would like to share with students at UTM or students considering a historical studies program?
I think I have a few pieces, a few nuggets of wisdom I can probably give. The first one, I think people can tell from when I was talking about my program selection, really my advice is don't be scared to try different courses because like it happened for me, you never know how they'll actually enrich the other courses you're taking or what skills they'll develop in you, or they'll introduce you to entirely new subject areas that you might fall in love with. I think when a lot of us, when we come to university, we have it in our heads of, this is what I want to do. And that's great. It's great to have focus and it's great to be ambitious, but you also need to allow yourself that kind of creative room to really grow and explore because that's what the purpose of university really is. And second, take time, especially in the historical studies department, because I know they're fantastic, to connect with your professors. It's really scary. I know they're intimidating, but I promise you they're nice people and they honestly do want to help you. And the last thing is specifically for historical studies, take the chance to do courses that are not just your typical lecture style. So like I was talking about, I had that research opportunity program and I had that practicum. And there's so many chances like that to just learn in a non-traditional setting. And it really grows your skills, your learning approaches. And also you can form connections with people when you're there that help you later on with volunteering, with employment. So just take those chances that are given to you.
Thank you so much for sharing those excellent tips. I wish I had heard those as well when I was entering university. Is there anything else that you would like to add that we didn't cover today?
The only piece that I would really add as a university student, don't forget that there are other resources available to you in terms of your career support centers or in terms of like mental health supports, just things like that. Because I, as a student, I didn't take advantage of any of those. But honestly, if I had gone to the career center and had them look at my resume or given me interview advice, honestly, I probably would have been quite a bit better off. So just take advantage of all the resources that are given to you, I would say.
It's been wonderful to hear about your experiences and your advice today. Thank you so much for joining the podcast, Monica.
Thank you so much for having me.
If you enjoyed this episode and you know someone who would also enjoy this episode, please pass it on to them or share it with your friends. Like it, click the follow button, or enter your email on the blog to receive podcast updates. Thank you so much for joining us today. I look forward to having you tune in next time to History Forward.